Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour number one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day as we're off and running here, and we have a full 5 hours of content for you. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. There's Brian Broaddus over there, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion. He's doing all right with his hoodie on. He's getting some new gear here going on. These are new new looks for you.
Yeah, you guys, we got it up online now. We got 3/4 zips. Yeah.
Nice.
We got hoodies. So I need to get the current sizes. Current sizes. I'll let you pick out. We got colors, array of colors. We got hats.
Yeah.
Got stocking hats coming around. We got a lot of things.
Stocking hats?
Yeah. So, yeah, you guys got to pick out your gear, and I'll make sure you get taken care of.
I love it. There's Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup Master Control here, 75 and Fitzhugh. Fixing to go 5 flawless. Woolchuck and Shia follow. Of course, Carter Freeman's coordinating your video, and along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Flagtober rolling on. Next chance to get your flag is going to be tomorrow at Tolbert Garage Door, and then that's with KNC Masterpiece tomorrow from 10 to 2. And then Friday, we're going to be at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers and Euless, and Lucius is going to be on site with us as well. So can't wait for that. And then Saturday, I got big plans for a little Flagtober Tour Day barbecue. Picking out some Hurtado locations with times to be announced. Okay, so nice. Stay tuned for those if you want to join me out and about Saturday picking up barbecue probably before Texas AOU or whatever you got going on. Okay, there was no Donovan Wilson at practice today after leaving the Jets game. This from the Twitter account Nick Harris about 20 minutes ago. If he cannot go, that would open the door for Marquise Bell or Elijah Clark to get the start. It's a pretty good week to be missing both your safeties. Obviously, that's not something that's recommended for any sustained period of time, but I think you're going to be all right against Bryce Young and the Panthers. How are you guys feeling about the Panthers game right now and Donovan Wilson's injury?
Yeah, where the Panthers have kind of figured out something, and at least against the Dolphins, was how to run the football.
Sure.
I don't think they can throw it particularly well. I don't think they can protect particularly well. And we'll get into that at 3:40 today, but I feel like that Dallas can go in there and get a win. I think clearly you have the better quarterback, you have the better skill players, but you're in a situation too where you better be ready to stop a run, because they're going to probably look at your tape and say, listen, we could challenge them this way by running the football. And I will, I think that's where Dave Canales will look at this and he'll say, listen, they don't tackle particularly well, Dallas. The Dolphins didn't tackle particularly well, and they had some positive yards that way. They run it a little bit with a little bit of a mixed bag to it, some flips, some handoffs. Where Dallas has been kind of bad is inside at the tackle spot.
Especially if you play Mozzie Smith.
Well, that's why I think JT. I think we'll see some JT in this one this week. I hope that too. But they got to be better. You know, Kenny Clark got pushed around a little bit the other day, and so did Osa, and also as Solomon Thomas, and they weren't very good at linebacker. But that's where Carolina's going to try and beat you in this football game. They're probably scared of your offense, and probably going to try and run the football and see if they can make some hay doing that way.
They should be scared of the offense because their defense, I don't think, is very good. I mean, I kind of made the mistake. I flip-flopped Ryan. I'm sorry. I took care of that Panthers defense, and I need to go back and do some homework on that offense, but. Defensively, if you just watched them against Miami last week, like Jalen Waddle's running wide open. They can't cover the tight end. I think Jake Ferguson, can't wait to talk with him tomorrow because he's got to be excited looking at this matchup. I think running backs out of the backfield, whether that's Javonte Williams or if Jaden Blue's active again for another week, you know, that's an area where I don't think they really even exploited at all his ability as a pass catcher. I mean, I thought he excelled at Texas in that regard. The wheel routes were open when it came towards the Miami offense against their defense. And J.C. Horn right now, one thing that really stood out, even when they creep him around the line of scrimmage, he is not really wanting to tackle. He does not really want to play very physical. Eric, you made a great point when I was talking with you before the show. Like, well, maybe that has to do with the injuries he's had. He's trying to stay healthy right now, so he's making some business decisions. Because that's opposite to the player that I watched at South Carolina, mm-hmm. who was very physical and willing to mix it up.
Yeah, he was a dog. And even Mark Schlereth, who was on the call for the Panthers game over the weekend, he was like, I'd be trying to run at J.C. Horn.
Yeah, yeah, he said that he plays boundary corner. So that means he plays the short side of the field. But so if you play the short side and you run the ball the short side to the outside, not a lot of room. You see what they're trying to do there?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I didn't want to go, well, stink. The boundary corner is going to, you know, because that you're running into the short side of the field. Most teams do not run the ball into the short side of the field.
They did shut out the Falcons in week three. I went back and watched some of that last night. Like, how did this happen? I think Michael Penix just played maybe his worst game as a pro. Yeah. And they missed two field goals as well. But, you know, Carolina's a 2-3. They're undefeated at home. They've played two really bad teams at home in Miami and in Atlanta. But it really looks like a bottom third roster with one of the worst quarterbacks. So
the offensive line's bad too.
Yeah,
340 today, because there's a couple of different avenues that you can attack, and we'll get into those. I think that to me, the offensive line is. I think the Jets' offensive line was much better last week, and you were able to generate some pressure. Can you take them out of their willingness to run? That's what you have to do. And I just feel like that they're just like, listen, we don't think that this quarterback can beat Dallas this way by throwing the football all over the place. So the running is going to be the key, and Dallas's offense is going to be the key. Can you put up points like you did against the Jets that take Carolina out of running the ball?
Yeah, if Bryce Young lights you up, we're going to be back into full-blown panic mode, I think, on this defense. Tyler Guyton finishing up concussion protocol was the word from Shoddy today. Sanborn is now in concussion protocol, and they're still taking their time with Revel. So I don't think he's coming out of that or entering that 21-day window to return off IR.
The problem when you bring him out of that into the 21 days, once that's up, you have to make a determination. And if you don't have the space, you have to put him back on injured reserve, and now they're done.
Yeah.
So you have to be very, very mindful of how you navigate those.
How much can you get done while you leave him out of the window? Just can't do team drills? Can't be a full participant in practice? What can you do if you're keeping him out of the 21-day window?
Well, you work
with trainers.
Yeah, it's just keep him over on the side is what you do.
All righty. Broadus will have Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. More of an in-depth review of the Panthers' offense. Looking forward to that. Dez Bryant says he doesn't agree with the Cardinals' decision to fine Jonathan Gannon, saying the player had just cost the team the game. Justifies the intensity of the coaching. I think it's a really interesting.
And Dez, $25,000 because he had the Cardinals and no.
Oh yeah, yeah. maybe he's bummed out of the player for busting the spread. That's an interesting angle.
Yeah. He's like, I'd have done the same. I'd have done way worse.
He's learning. He's learning now what most gamblers were thinking. Like,
I'd have straight up kicked that guy's ass.
Yeah, I would have left him on the tarmac. You know, there's always that. You get that tweet. You know.
It is an interesting point. Like, it's a benchmark in football history how we're looking at these moments on the sidelines I think we're sort of taken for granted, or that's just coaching for decades. But I think it's smart to draw a line in the sand from the team's perspective and say we're just not going to tolerate coaches hitting players. I think that's what they're saying.
You know what? Did you go back and see the Bruce Arians one?
Yes, I looked it up yesterday.
The Bruce Arians one looks far more violent.
Trying to smack his head.
Yeah, it's like he's jumping in the air to hit one of his guys in the head.
I think his fine was less. Wasn't it like 25,000?
He was wearing a helmet, just for the record.
He was wearing a helmet,
yes. He's smacking him on the helmet, which is a tried and true football move.
But it seemed like, to me, it was kind of like one of those moves like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, but to me, it's, I don't know. I played in a different era myself. You know, I had coaches. It's very, very tough. Coaches are grabbing face masks. There was a guy at Arizona State named Frank Cush that was famous for the face mask grabs and stuff. Woody Hayes. Remember, go back, 1978 Gator Bowl. Charlie Bauman intercepts a ball for Clemson, and Woody comes off the bench and punches him right there.
Him
big
and Scotty Bauman.
Was it? Scotty Bowman?
Come on, Brian.
No. What are you talking about? Is it? It was Charlie.
He's just making up names right now.
Rapping with you.
Oh, okay. But anyway, so I thought I'm watching this live game of the Buccaneers in Seattle going at it right now.
Yeah,
okay.
No, I can't believe
it's got my
football. Hump
it's
amazing. Football.
It's amazing how these teams are wearing their old throwbacks to 1976 uniforms. I'm impressed by that.
But can you imagine if a coach would have done that to Dez? I mean, maybe Dez is looking at it from the perspective of, I would have never been the player in that position.
I think Dez probably had hard coaching there at like DeSoto and places like that.
Lufkin.
Yeah. Oh, I said so. Lufkin. Yeah, I meant Lufkin. Yeah. I think he probably had some hard coaching in his day.
And a lot of the comments, you know, reacting to Dez, some were disagreeing, but some people were saying, yeah, that's how my kids coach coaches them.
Yeah.
And I love it, you know, like hold these players accountable, get in their face. You know, let them know that, you know, you got to be accountable when you mess up like that and stuff. And I get it. That's why I just think it's fascinating that it's such a marker in football history where I think we're drawing the line, setting the example. But I don't know if football culture wants to go along with it.
I think
this is the NFL being a little softer than what football culture has been and still is.
I think there's so much pressure on these coaches and wins and losses matter so much.
For sure.
You're one to the good or one to the bad could be a difference whether you get a contract extension or at the combine trying to find a job.
Yeah.
So that's, I think, the sideline part of things, that's tough. That's tough for coaches to kind of, you know, especially a coach like Gannon who's kind of on the hot seat a little bit at Arizona. So, you know, one to the good means that maybe he gets to stay around next year. One to the bad means he's out hunting a gig.
It does seem that way. You know, it's been a disappointing season in Arizona.
You lose that. When you lose that, you lose your emotion there. You lose your
ability. Like that's what Lucius says every Friday on the weekend crash out warning. Yeah. Your emotions will get the best of you. You know, and if you're not careful, they'll totally take over. Thursday night football tomorrow, Giants host the Eagles. If you want to win the division, I think tomorrow might be a huge game for you because of what I guess could happen. The line 7.5, and the Eagles are likely going to bounce back. But if New York can win this, I really think that would be a flashpoint for the Eagles season. And, you know, maybe their chemistry falls apart as it did in 2023. They're playing a good front. I think the Giants could hold them under 20 points easily. Maybe they got a game plan coming together for Jackson Dart. But I think the biggest reason I believe this is possible is the Eagles only had the one run for Saquon Barkley in the second half. That OC is getting roasted in Philadelphia. They're talking about, we got to get back to running. And if you stubbornly run with this version of their running game, that could be 3-3 and outs in the first half. They could find themselves in a dogfight third quarter quite easily.
I'm hoping. I mean, this is kind of why I was fading them coming into the season. Just the hope of health. And also, this is a team that we've seen just kind of collapse on itself with infighting and whatever the reasons are. And they had their players-only meeting between the three of them with Hurts and Brown and Barkley. Devontae Smith not a part of that. Barkley says it went well. Barkley's also saying it's just knee soreness, not a big deal. I'm going to be good to go. So I don't know. I mean, what version of Saquon Barkley do you get tomorrow night? Because I think you're right. I think you're going to get a natural overcorrection. I think they're going to force-feed him. And maybe they force-feed A.J. Brown, too. Maybe that's part of this thing. But I do wonder when what they've been able to do wins games. And now you've got players like A.J. Brown that are frustrated with their role. If you do have an overcorrection, does that end up hurting the rest of the team? And I'm hoping Jackson Dart and Cam Scataboo can go out there and just crush it.
It does win games, but, I mean, you're the 30th offense. You can't expect to continue to win games. Right. I feel like they don't believe it's sustainable. Yeah, and I think it's totally reasonable that Hurts, Barkley, Brown had a meeting. It's not contentious. It's just, man, this is becoming a distraction. Can we maybe, you know, put the focus back on the team? Because, you know, we need it. And the Giants might need health because they're down another wide receiver. Darius Slayton is likely out. Obviously, already without their star, Malik Nabers. So it's going to be Wandale Robinson. It looks like they're going to sign Little Jordan Humphrey.
There you go.
From the practice squad. It's a fun player.
South Lake Carroll.
Of course, the tight end, Daniel Bellinger, had a decent game in week five. But, you know, the chance of victory there, a stop in the run, maybe daring the Eagles to pass and getting a couple of mistakes. And I think they do have a little something cooking in New York, even though they kicked that game away. They've had a decent amount of success since Dart stepped in there. Saquon Barkley is the need that he is nursing for you as well. Wolchuk just mentioned that. Okay, we got baseball starting here. The Mariners and Tigers are underway. I don't see any rain delay warning on the screen here.
Looks like a pretty day in Detroit.
Seattle leading 2-1, and you have no outs here, top of the first inning, so the game is underway, and we'll be keeping you updated throughout the afternoon. Cubs are up 2-0 on the Brewers. Game 3 at 4 o'clock. The Phillies are going to try to stay alive tonight. They're down 2-0 in Los Angeles. It'll be Yamamoto against Aaron Nola. But, man, how about the Yankees last night? Down bad, 6-1 in the third. They come back to win 9-6 with 7 runs over a 3-inning stretch. Aaron Judge drives in 4 runs. It was the Yankees' largest ever comeback in an elimination game and tied for its second biggest in any postseason game. So maybe that's a turning point for them. I think most everybody other than Yankees fans rooting pretty strong here for the Blue Jays. You guys see Stanford football might be back?
$50 million donation?
Who donated the money, did we say?
Bradford Freeman graduated in 1964 and co-founded a private equity investment fund.
Yeah.
And
that's a lot of money.
He's given money over the years, but this is directly to the football program?
Yeah. Not for facilities, not for anything. From what I understand, this is just straight for let's get a roster
get
out
players.
Here before now, I fall over and
Stanford
croak. I want to watch a good football team.
They still have the education rules, right? Like,
yeah, see, that's what I wonder.
They can't waive standards for players just because
Notre Dame talented. Used to have that. They used to not be able to get guys in because they had the standards for the university. And I don't know if Stanford's doing this. I think what's happened is we've seen Stanford lose a couple of athletes. That remember our lady softball pitcher went to Texas Tech for like $1 million. What happened to that? They got that in the College World Series, right? Mm-hmm. And then you've got Texas Tech also got, didn't they get a defensive end from Stanford? Another
one? Yeah, they did. David Bailey.
Bailey's a beast.
Right now leads the country in pressure.
So there you go, right there. But that just shows you, I think Stanford's got some limitations. They might need to ask SMU what's going on with their stuff. SMU's probably very similar to Stanford.
Good, that's a good point.
There's got to be a way around it. I mean, there's got to be enough kids that keep, a 3.0 GPA? How tough's the standard? You got to go 3.5? You got to go 4.0 at Stanford? I mean, come on, guys. Figure it out. Yeah. I guess that would be part of my donation. You can have this $50 million if you don't insist that that every kid that comes on the team maintains a GPA.
Yeah,
you want to see some damn winning football around here.
Yeah, I think that's the issue right now, though, is that Stanford will not lower their admission standards either. That's the problem. Notre Dame has lowered their admissions. Notre Dame's still a fine school, but they have lowered some admission standards for some of their athletes so they can get more of this, maybe some transfer portal guys in or gals.
There's enough smart kids out there. You just got to make them the right offer, and now they can. They've been doing it, remember? I mean, they've done it plenty of times.
Oh,
Tyrone Willingham,
man,
25 years ago.
David Shaw.
Harbaugh. Yeah,
David Shaw had it going, and Harbaugh had it going, too.
Yeah. I think they have 3 different runs here this century, anyway. Okay, G-Bag of the Day, champ on the other side, then Wolchuk's top 10. Buddy, what's the subject today?
Well, in honor of fines, we've got the top 10 biggest individual fines in the history of sports. What's the weirdest thing you've been fined for? That's next.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation. Welcome back, Nation. Wolchuk's top 10 here in just a moment. G-Bag of the Day champ. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. As Flagtober rolls on, tomorrow KNC Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite, Friday cold beers and cheeseburgers with us, okay? And stay tuned for Saturday's schedule. In the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius with the jam.
Hey, yo. All right, this is day two for this. It will be day two. They won on one day, day two for this champion audio. Watching the Cowboys game with AI Broadus.
Left to right at the Dallas 42. Fields is in the gun, gives it to Hall, and he's got a seam at right guard. He breaks away from a tackle running 30. 25, 21-yard line.
This team's never going to stop anybody. I told these f***ers to keep Zimmer.
Pressure blowing right up the middle. Sam Williams with his speed, with his first sack of the year and the Cowboys' fourth of the day.
Didn't Bobby say they wouldn't be able to rush the passer? This is why I fired his fat ass from Love of the Star.
Here's a deep pass down the right side. Oh, Flamoy at the 25. A great move inside the defender and down to the 15.
Let me text the gang of seven about this Flournoy guy. You like this guy, right, Zach? Yeah. That's why you're my draft show protege and we had to gatekeep Chiafalo.
All right, here's Fields throwing deep. Oh, into the right side. Wilson caught it at the 48.
Is Bade mute over there? Is this a preseason game? Do I need to step in and do color for him?
Going deep. There's a shot for Pickens. He got pushed. He cocked the ball.
Zach, do you remember which of my 72 podcasts I talked about taking a shot to Pickens this week? Peyton, I'm going to run downstairs real quick and see if the homeless guy outside the McDonald's wants some G-bag gear.
Throws it deep to the middle. Flannoy on a deep crosser. 45, broke a tackle. Right sideline, 20-yard line.
He told me I had to be higher than Mark Sanchez in the cab of an oil disposal truck to think he'd be seen in that.
There it is. AI brought us his bag, baby.
That's so good.
And once again, your G-Bag of the Day champion. Really has been the year brought us here, this G-Bag of the Day.
Oh, how about amazing. That? Yeah.
AI brought us going to face some challengers coming up at 5:30 tonight, right before we get to L.A. Live with Lucius Alexander. Time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 2:20. There he is, the Woolly Pony.
All right, in honor of Jerry and Jonathan Gannon and others that have been fined this week in pro football and other sports, the top 10 biggest individual fines in the history of sports, 877-881-1053. Where or when have you taken just a weird fine? We do have a big-time week in Texas high school football, though.
Yeah.
It's DeSoto at Duncanville Friday night.
Don't they usually do this in the state finals?
Ooh, yeah, they'll probably... well, it depends if they get slotted. There's D1 and D2. Sometimes DeSoto will land in D2, so they don't have to play each other. But, yeah, I mean, I think we've had years where both of them have been state champions.
I feel like every year that I watched
they're two of the best teams in the country.
Every
absolutely.
Year. Yeah, and they I believe DeSoto's quarterback's name is Legend, and Duncanville's is Maximus the Great.
Maximus the Great is an incredible name.
The Great's his middle name or his full first name?
I believe the Great is the middle name.
Wow. They've got a USC pledge, Ethan Feaster, and Sarad Baker is also a member of DeSoto, who's one of their better players as well. But, yeah, I mean, for Duncanville, three-star receiver – Boogie Theus, absolute star. I'm excited. Who is in this game? I think WFAA is going to have this. If you have Victory Plus.
Is this a neutral site tilt?
No, it's a home game for Duncanville.
Oh, wow.
They never play neutral site. They'll always alternate.
I just figured with the magnitude of like both crowds probably showing up.
You probably could play it at the Star or at one of these bigger
Ford
venues.
Ford Field?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Get that thing absolutely lit up. Argyle's playing Arlington Seguin this week as well. That'll be a big game. Hebron, Denton, Guyer, North Crowley, Mansfield, Lake Ridge, just to name a few. But shout out to Texas High School Football getting some love.
Shout out to our guy Tony in the 214. He says, I got DeSoto. Wish I could bet on it.
Well, just get yourself
in due time, dude. I'm sure Prize Picks will have some in Texas High School Football.
I know a couple crazy people that might be dabbling in some high school football. That's here and there.
A little dibble dab.
We should get some Prize Picks in on high school football, more or less on the Baker rushing yards, the Theus receiving yards. You know, we could have fun with this. Just open it up. Quarterback North Forney is named Legend 2, Legend Bay from the 817. Shout out to North Forney. I mean, that program is big time right now. All right, let's get into these top 10 biggest individual fines. And some of them will have some local ties as well. Did you ever get fined for anything?
Yeah.
All right.
A couple different times.
What kind of crazy?
With the Packers?
Tomfoolery, what are you doing? You didn't wear your socks properly? Was that it?
No. I mean, if you talk about fine, how about a fine for just running stoplights? You know, Plano.
I was hoping traffic violations.
Yeah, Plano will get
yeah,
you.
Yeah, Plano, they used to have the camera, the camera spotlights. Like, yeah. And I knew it, too. I'd run through and I'd go, oh, no. And sure enough, there'd be a $75 fine in the mail.
Plano was always collecting.
I think they got about $600 for me for this.
Well, how do you think we're going to get the stars?
Good for you. But yeah,
hopefully.
How about me being an idiot just running through stoplights that I know that have cameras?
214 in high school French class, we got fined 5 cents if we spoke English. Teacher would use that money to buy us candy at the end of the semester. So you ended up winning.
It's kind of a good investment.
But I guess instead of a swear jar, you've got an English jar.
How old is that person? Like 5 cents?
I got fined by the HOA. You know, they send you these bills for the annual dues or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Such a ripoff.
It was like $900. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I should have paid that when I got it. And then I got a few more letters. And then I think they sent something in FedEx. You know, maybe I got served a bill.
Oh, wow.
By the time I got around to it, it was like 7 months later, and it was $2,500. It went from $900 to $2,500.
Sounds very toll taggish.
I was like, what is going on here? You know, I figured it was going to cost me a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was like an extra $200 a month they were tacking on.
Whoa.
I thought that was a little heavy-handed.
Yeah, that is.
The whole thing is heavy-handed.
That is.
Yeah. I'm like... Okay, then.
Come on now. 817, I was fine /
very neighborly.
The A in HOA stands for ask my dude.
Yeah, straight up ask my dude. No doubt. Shout out to Tate Martell. Arlington cop fined or ticketed this 17-year-old when he was riding his bike in a school parking lot for not having a white reflector on the front of the bicycle.
Trying to keep people safe, man.
You know, I do know one of my friends, it might have been the guy who sharted on my couch.
Ooh.
He did buy a car, had just gotten it. And he was driving up to Chick-fil-A to show it to me because I was working there, and he nailed a guy on a bike.
Oh.
Yeah.
Everybody okay?
You say nailed.
Everyone was okay. It was a...
The guy ended up on the hood?
Yeah.
Oh.
He was old, and he did not have the reflectors. Now, I guess he got away...
Did your guy blame him for being in the way?
Where's your damn reflectors, bro? Yeah,
I mean, he hates people on bikes to this day. Yeah. He's like, get the hell out of the road. Why are you driving in the road? The sidewalk's there for a reason.
You talking about the couch charter?
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yeah,
not me. I personally love people that ride bikes. Good for you.
I'm just impressed with their bravery, you know, and their ability to be like, I'm fine here. You know, there's a lot of places you could ride that cars don't go. And I just wonder why you want to go where the cars are.
Yeah.
That's bizarre to me.
And he also might not have been totally...
Sober?
I mean, just all there.
Oh, brain,
the bike rider?
Yeah.
Brain... the bike rider.
There might have been... I don't know for sure what was wrong with him.
It happens, man. Gotcha. We had one in Sunnyvale 6 months or so ago.
Yeah.
You know, riding up that service road where you turn from Collins to get onto 80, mm-hmm. and some early commuter just didn't see him, and... You know, it's
that's
unfortunate.
That's my biggest fear, driving at 6 in the morning, is hitting walkers in my neighborhood. There's a bunch
when
of olders
walking on, like, the side of the highway.
Oh, no.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
People are driving 70 miles an hour. If they just veer, like, somebody just looks at their phone or something, and they just veer a little bit over.
Death wish.
You're getting clipped, and you're dead.
Yeah.
That's terrifying. Yeah. Absolutely terrifying. All right, here are the biggest individual fines in sports history. We start at number 10.
I mean, you had the hockey guys. You have Sean Bradley. There's plenty of examples out there. You know, you're really, I think you're living on the edge being bike road rider, at least in Texas. Some places have much better bike lane access. Wow. And I'm not complaining about Texas. I'm just saying, you know, if you're going to have a robust biking community, it might make sense to provide them with safe lanes.
Sadio Mane, $553,000 fine for punching a teammate while he was with Liverpool in 2022.
Must have been a heck of a punch.
Yeah, that's a...
Hope he knocked him out.
It's a fat one right there.
What'd Draymond Green get for that punch heard around the world?
That's a good question. I don't know if he's on here. Number 9, it's our very own Mark Cuban. $600,000 fine for admitting to tanking for the Mavericks. He noted Adam Silver would hate hearing that. Commissioner confirmed that was the case. Fined him $600K after the Mavs went 18-40 in 28. After the All-Star break in 2018, and they were hoping to just get better odds to land the top overall pick, and Mark just, he was honest about it.
Circled back around it for Lively few years later.
Yeah. I mean, it worked. You get Luka and Lively out of the deal. I think the tanking worked out for the Mavericks.
It was so glorious for us, too, because me and Mike and even Jeff had been talking about how important it was to tank if you're the Mavs. And so many people, I mean, their PA guy, even Cuban himself, others were like, you can't tank. You know, this was when there was, I guess, you know, an anti-tanking movement, you know, like it's the integrity of the game. And
yeah.
And next thing you know, they're doing it. And not only did Cubes get fined for it, but you end up with Luka.
Yeah, and it worked out. And I mean, look at
poetic.
Look at the Sixers. They were tanking, and it never worked out for them. So, you know what? If teams want to tank, fine. It's not always going to necessarily mean that they're going to benefit from it.
Look at you giving up on the Sixers, man. Trust the damn process.
Trust the process, bro. They've been trusting that process for 15 years now. They're never winning. Jamal Lewis, $760,000 fine for drug trafficking. Spent a decade in the NFL. Running back won Offensive Player of the Year honors after being just the fifth player to join the 2K Club.
However, that was a court fine?
Yeah. In 2000, he attempted to buy 5 kilograms of blow from an undercover FBI agent. Spent 4 months in prison in 2004 and was suspended for 2 games, forcing him to forfeit those paychecks on top of the $760,000 fine he was ordered to pay.
To this day, one of the most underrated running backs of a generation.
But man,
he was a bowling ball.
Absolutely. Violent. I mean, he fit perfectly with that Ravens defense in 2000. Because it's like, who the hell wanted to tackle Jamal Lewis at running back?
Not me, not J.C. Horn.
Eddie DeBartolo Jr., $1 million fine for a riverboat casino bribe. In 1977, Eddie DeBartolo Sr. bought a gift for his son in the form of the San Francisco 49ers. The team then had Super Bowl success. However, things came crashing down after he was implicated in an extortion scandal concerning disgraced Louisiana Governor Edwin Edwards.
Governor Edwards.
DeBartolo had applied for a license for a riverboat casino in the Shreveport area and secured it with the help of a $400,000 that he put in a briefcase and handed to Edwards at a diner in San Fran. DeBartolo then had to pay the $1 million fine to the government and was hit with 2 years of probation. However, that was just the start. As Paul Tagliabue said, adios, mofo. You're no longer going to be part of the NFL.
Ousted.
I mean, that's bad because he loses his team, too. Donald Sterling, $2.5 million for racism.
His fine was bigger than that. He lost his team.
You know, it bothers me a lot that you want to broadcast that you're associating with black people, was the quote. In regards to Magic Johnson, that's where we get, if you ever hear us reference, when he goes on CNN with Anderson Cooper, and he's like, big Magic Johnson. What's he done? He's got AIDS.
Well, I don't think it was full-blown AIDS, Donald. I think it was just HIV.
That guy's such a bleep hole. But now Steve Ballmer took over, and the Clippers are better for him. Mike Tyson, $3 million.
Well, I don't know. The Clippers are in some hot water now, too.
Yeah, they are. Stuff, maybe it's just a Clippers thing, but at least it's not racism.
Hey, at least they have all the toilets in the world in that arena.
They do have a ton of toilets. A
lot of real estate.
Mike Tyson, $3 million for biting off a chunk of Evander Holyfield's ear.
I'd say he got his money's worth.
He did. Deshaun Watson, $5 million for the misconduct allegations against him, the massages. Robert Sarver got a $10 million fine for fostering a toxic work environment.
Oh, was that the Suns?
With the Suns.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Yeah, that was, I think they still have issues going on there in Phoenix. I mean, the Phoenix Mercury thing that came out recently, they're still having problems.
So are like our president, vice president guys kind of.
Yeah.
With the team.
There was the Sophie Cunningham allegations, which I think were false. Yeah. Ben Simmons, over $19 million for holding out. Man, skipped out on 54 games. He was fined $360K for every game. Dan Snyder.
What a bizarre story, man.
Really bizarre.
We need a 30 for 30 on that one. He was hooping.
Dan Snyder, I'm sure we'll get one eventually on him, too. $60 million in total fines for... really the bombshell that the Washington Post went ahead and came out with, and he was just doing all the things wrong, and that's the most. Forking over a $60 million fine to the NFL, which remains the largest sum a single individual in the world of sports has had to pay as a form of restitution. So hopefully nobody else ever beats that, and Dan Snyder has one thing to his claim. That's the largest fine in sports history, baby.
Way to go, I know some Cowboys fans that would love to see that figure beaten in a way that would also force the sale of a team. But hey, that's topics for another day, I suppose.
You said that.
I was just saying some Cowboys fans.
Some.
I mean, people are saying. Yes, sir. Okay.
We're on the street.
ESPN's Greg Wyshynski is going to talk some hockey with you coming up at 3 o'clock here in the Nation, Chief. What is next?
Sounds of the Sports Day featuring Derek Lively, Connor McGregor, and we ask the question, how stoned is Mike McDaniel?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the GMAC Nation here on 105 through the Fan. Greg Wyshynski, Puck Daddy's coming up at 3 o'clock. We'll talk hockey with him, get you ready for the star season. Here's the Chief Sports.
Yes, sir. Sounds of the Sports Day. We got plenty to get to. We start with a bit of a heartwarming story, and then we'll get to the funsies and the crazies. This is Fox 4's Sam Gannon sitting down with Derek Lively of your Dallas Mavericks, and he became a father this offseason. He's got a little baby girl.
Congrats.
And this is him talking about what life is now like.
It's been great. I've definitely learned a lot. A lot of sleepless nights, a lot of changing diapers, a lot of dirty diapers. But I love my new little sunshine. She's the reason why I play basketball now. At first, it was my mom, and now it's to provide her with a better life. So I'm just thankful for God giving me a healthy, huge baby. And I'm just grateful.
And her name's Clover.
Clover with a K.
A significance with that name?
So I got it from my mom's tattoo, which she's Irish, and on it there's a four-leaf clover, and her name was Kathy with a K. So around the time that we figured out she was passing, I figured out that we were having a baby, and I was just thinking, K name for Kathy, Clover, K for Clover, kind of just went together.
What a beautiful way to honor your mom, too. Mm-hmm. How proud do you think she is of you right now?
She is. She's so proud, but I can just feel her looking back at me through my daughter's eyes. So I just know I'm going to get haunted through everything that my mom has done. Well, I've done to my mom, my daughter's going to do to me.
Yeah.
How about
payback?
That, man?
That's awesome. I love that. That's an amazing story.
It is. It is. We all love Derek Lively. I mean, Wolchuk doesn't even want to trade him for Giannis.
My favorite Mav.
You know, and now I'm sure he's even more entrenched in that particular sports take. So hopefully Derek Lively stays healthy, man. Because
that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Whatever you have to do, stay healthy, bro.
Yeah.
Stay healthy.
That's what we need.
I can't help but notice the similarities between him and Dak and their life story and losing mom to such an early age and how wise and grounded and appreciative they feel. It, you know, it's not a transformation you'd want to go through, but man, they've just absolutely aced the test. That's a hell of a story. That might be the best baby naming story I've ever heard.
I know. Isn't that it's incredible.
Very creative.
So I love me some Derek Lively, and kudos to him and his lovely baby girl. All right, now we pivot and we ask the question, just how high is Miami Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel at the podium?
He was really frustrated at the, you know, just like he was – as I was, and you know, we talked about the challenge ahead to get ready for the Chargers, that was kind of the extent of it.
He was talking about Stephen Ross.
What'd you talk about there?
That's what him.
Talking about the owner Stephen Ross.
Maybe he's
just shaking in his boots.
Ooh.
Yeah,
you know, when I see him, I think he has fallen on tough times behind the scenes, but it might just be explainable by overhitting the pen throughout the workday. You know, get the best out of you. You got to leave that thing on the nightstand when you leave the house.
That old Ben Roethlisberger will get the best out of you, won't it, Wolchuk?
I wouldn't know.
Not that you would know, but just like you've seen it.
Yeah. I mean, some people plow straight through it. You know, some people can plow straight through, and it's like they have an energy, or the cannabis is fueling their energy and their excitement.
Yeah.
You know, we all know a person like that, you know, and I could name you some in sports radio even. You'd be like, wow, that guy was baked. Yes, it's incredible. You know, some people can be super baked and their synapses are firing and they're like talking a mile a minute. That's clearly not McDaniel, you know. That guy, I don't know how much he wants his job. Maybe he's coping with the stress of it through cannabis, but that's clear.
Yeah, one foot out the door, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's down bad times right now for Mike McDaniel and the Miami
Dolphins.
I mean,
Dolphins. He looks disheveled.
He does.
He does. Yeah, he's not sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, not sleeping, right?
Doesn't look like a guy who's
might just be a slept in months.
Miami can get the best of you.
Sure can.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well said. All right, this is a throwback Thursday on a Wednesday football clip of the day. Now, this is from the Julian Edelman podcast. He had Rich Earbar, I believe is how you say his name.
Earbar.
This was a guy who was like a late drafted pick by the Patriots, offensive lineman. But he looked like he's been like a gray headed dude for a long time. Okay. So this is when Randy Moss was on the Patriots. He's telling the story about how Randy Moss had a nickname for him and how it all went awry.
Randy Moss gave me this nickname and it happened immediately. I have no idea why, because we barely spoke to each other.
Yeah.
He would be like, "Hey, what's up, coach?" He called me coach. So Randy would call me coach everywhere. You know, we'd be waiting in line. He's like, "Oh yeah, coach. I know you're going to get on this pot roast because you look like pot roast, coach. And you big fat I bet you, oh, you're going to have 2 pieces of pot roast? You know what? Have three." I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm like, I'm in, man. Like, he gave me a nickname. Like, I'm telling people from back home, like, Randy Moss gave me a nickname. He really likes me.
That's what I'm telling you. It was so cool that he had a nickname. He was so funny. He had a nickname.
Yeah, like immediately. I was like, this is the best. Bill Belichick has all the rookies get in front of the room and say their name. And so I get up there. And I can't remember if it was in the meeting or immediately after, but Randy Moss pulls me aside. He goes, "Motherfucker. You a player?" He goes, "You been a player this whole time?"
I think he was in front of the whole team.
"You gray hair, I thought you was a coach." He was like, "You a player? Oh, hell no, Bill. Did we waste a draft pick on this mother? Are you kidding me? Was he going to go out there and break a hip? Damn, Bill." And I'm just like, oh my God, that was not a nickname. He thought it was a coach.
He thought he was a coach.
How unbelievably embarrassing. I mean, I told everybody. I was like, "Yeah, Randy really likes me. It's going pretty well, gang.
It's going great. I've got a best friend, Randy Moss.
That's good.
Get to know me."
That is wonderful, dude. Woo. The great Randy Moss just absolutely clowned on this guy, thinking for months
coach
that he was actually a coach on the team because he looked so old and unprofessional as an athlete.
I thought about that with, was it Brad Marchand? I mean, how old is this dude?
Yeah,
I saw him yesterday on that day game. I was like, wow.
He's got the rat face.
He's looking like he's in his 40s.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, we've done the rat face thing before.
Yeah, he does.
He's clearly one of those guys.
He's got it.
Okay, now I bring up this Conor McGregor clip. I believe this is one of those McGregor trash talking moments that is not broadcasted in the way that it should be. Okay, and the only reason I bring this up is because he has been hit with an 18-month period of ineligibility for a violation of the UFC anti-doping policy. We're all kind of thinking maybe he would be a part of the White House fights.
Which he still will be, because it expires on March 20th, 2026.
Okay, so
it is
still
backdated to September 20th of 2024.
So I guess this is relatively rendered useless. It's almost like, why are you even doing this?
And initially, I thought the same thing.
And it wasn't like he failed drug tests. It was just that he was off the grid three times between June and September of last year, making himself ineligible for the drug tests. So nonetheless, I use that as the launching point for, I believe we go back to 2016 here. This is CNBC. This is McGregor at the height of his powers with Nate Diaz.
Yeah.
And they're getting set to, they're like doing a business segment on CSNBC.
They can't even count to five.
And this was before they actually were live on the air.
With CNBC, how are you?
Very good. How are you?
I'm going to talk about money because we are the business network and the business of the UFC and all that sort of stuff.
I'll take over from here, Nate. You can bounce. take a coffee break, Nate. And by coffee break, I mean bring me my coffee.
No. They want you to give us a quick count to 10, both of you gentlemen, if you don't mind, just if you wouldn't mind counting to 10.
Nate can only count to 5. 10. Count to 5, Nate, will you, if you can?
If you can.
Up with that coffee.
I ain't counting. How about
and
that?
Hurry up with that coffee.
I mean, dude,
that was prime Connor.
That was.
Oh, I missed that version of Connor.
That me too, man. I think we all
he
do.
Was can't miss. He was so great then, and he was in the prime of his career. Now he's totally lost it.
Yeah, it's a shame. It really is. Now we do have a Wemby clip. I just think this is a total bar from him, and then I have some Wemby news for you.
You know, there are some shots. Of course, I probably turned down a shot I could make with my eyes closed, but that was to get one of my teammates a shot he could make in his sleep.
I just think that's a bar. That's a teammate bar. I could make the shot with my eyes closed,
man.
But the better shot is the one that my teammate could make in his sleep. Now, I'm seeing here from the Spurs, He's listed now at 7'5".
That is nuts. Because he was 7'3" previously.
So there's been a 2-inch increase in the height of the alien Victor Wembanyama.
What the hell?
Wow.
That's wild.
Thank God Derek Lively. I mean, they're kind of going inch for inch right now, aren't
inch
they?
Inch for inch.
I do wonder if it's too tall. You know, I did wonder at times last year. I didn't see him take a step. I think he's having a hard time sort of growing into his body and getting strong enough to crush.
Maybe it'll be, maybe it'll actively play defense against his dominance. But in the meantime, you're going to be looking at a 7'5" clogging up that paint.
Yeah, maybe the greatest shot blocking threat that we'll see in this generation, no doubt about it. Okay, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and ESPN's Greg Wyshynski is going to answer all of our Dallas Stars questions and get set for tomorrow's opener and the entire season. We'll set expectations and get the inside words with Greg next here in the Nation.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.